Good morning, everybody. We're GFBS. We are Grand Forks' best source on a Monday. Joining us today via Zoom from Fargo, Pierre-Paul Lamoureux, Fargo Force head coach of the United States Hockey League. One of the few Lamoureux that hasn't been on the show yet, and I've been looking forward to talking to this guy for a long time. Today's show, by the way, brought to you by Raptor PCS in the Grand Cities Mall, the very best place to take your computer. They have got a full range of computer services, very affordable rates. I mean, they do computer builds, virus removal, hardware repairs. And I tell you what, if you're looking to buy a new laptop, go there. And if they're working on your computer, most cases, you'll have that thing back the following day. Raptor PCS will even come to your house. They'll pick your computer up, or you can stop by at the loading zone in front of Rumors. Winners of the top-rated local businesses in 2019 and 2020. You know, if you bring your computer in and mention this ad, they'll give you $20 off any computer service. That's a hell of a deal right there. Grand Forks' best source, we go to Raptor PCS all the time. I told you, it's the best place to take your computer. Check them out, raptorpcs.com, or call 701-772-7626. It's Raptor PCS right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Well, if you have any questions for ourselves or Pierre-Paul Lamoureux, you know our phone number. If you want to text or call, 701-213-0863. That's 701-213-0863. And before we get going, time now for Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. You know, hockey players are known for their summer teeth, you know. Yeah, hockey players are known for their summer teeth. Well, some are here, some are there, some are, you know, I think you get it. Katie, what'd you think of that one?
I can't even imagine not having front teeth. I know there's a lot of hockey players I've watched. Brett Burns, I don't think he doesn't have front teeth, and I don't know how they do it. But
Pierre-Paul, you got all your teeth?
I do.
You do, huh? They're old, yeah. looking good. Hey, welcome to the show, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Trying to get you on the show here for a long time now. I'm going to call you Pierre-Paul instead of PJ, but you got to call me John.
Sounds good, John.
Now, you know, that's the thing with the Lamoureux. Most of you, I don't know if you ever did really go by your real names growing up. I've always known you as PJ. And you kind of cracked me and said, hey, it's Pierre-Paul now. But you went by PJ forever. Now, you guys really growing up, I mean, I think your sisters use their, well, Mario did too, but how many of you didn't use your real names growing up?
I think most of us did. When I was younger, Pierre-Paul was a mouthful for younger kids to say.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a youth hockey coach, instead of writing Pierre-Paul on the sticker on the front of your helmet, it was Pierre-Paul was too long to write, so he wrote Pierre Jr.
Oh, sure.
And it ended up being PJ, and I never really, to be honest, really liked the nickname.
Yeah.
But I just for a while, and that's what people called me. And then you grow up and go back to the name that your mom gave you.
Wow. Yeah, because you're not a junior, are you? You're Pierre-Paul.
That's right.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself there, Pierre-Paul, away from hockey. I know you had some other family members in the background there. You looked like your technical support staff there helping you out. But tell us about Pierre-Paul Lamoureux's life away from hockey.
Yeah, you know, married to Randy Iverson, or she's now Randy Lamoureux, but Randy's from Grafton. And we're lucky right now, actually, our daughter, Lanny, she just turned 11 months yesterday.
Wow.
So we've got a small family that's slowly growing, and we've been living here in Fargo now since 2017, and really like the Fargo-Moorhead community. You know, as a hockey coach, it's, you know, it's kind of your day-to-day. It's a lot like being a teacher. You're consumed with, you know, every player on your roster. You're have a very big responsibility to take care of those players and those people. And, you know, away from hockey, coaching takes up a lot of my time. So I don't have a ton of activities away from hockey. You know, a big part of my time is spent with my family, with my wife, Randy, and our daughter, Lanny, and, you know, just enjoying downtime when we're not at the rink. So, in the summertime, we try to take a trip down to Florida almost every summer, and I try to spend as much time on the golf course as I can. I don't get out nearly enough, but hoping to do that more here this upcoming summer.
Hey, you'll have to get a hold of that baseball guy. He just bought himself new clubs, so maybe you got a partner there for this summer. I want to know, Pierre-Paul, I mean, I know. I've known you since you were very young. Tell us how you got your start in hockey.
You know, it would just – just grew up playing it. I didn't really know any better. Growing up in Grand Forks, that's what everyone does. Everyone plays hockey. You know, so for us and our family, there were six kids born in a 6-year age gap, and there was always a game going on. There was a pond in our parents' backyard, so we were always down on the coulee playing games every night of the week. And we had a great neighborhood growing up with tons of kids the same age that I'm still friends with, and my siblings are still friends with to this day. And every night of the week and every weekend, there was some high level competitive games going. So we just grew up playing it and developed a true passion for the game. And, you know, and then as you grow up and start aspiring to get to higher levels, it's, you know, never really planned on getting into coaching or anything like that. You just kind of found, I personally found my way into it. You know, when my playing career came to an end, and was fortunate to get a start and get my foot in the door as like a volunteer student coach at North Dakota, and learn from some real good people. And then here I am now.
You know, you kind of took a little different route through your hockey career than your brothers and sisters did. If I believe right, you were played major juniors up as a Red Deer.
Correct.
Bring back some memories when you were watching the Olympics this year.
You know what? I definitely took a different route than most people in North Dakota or Minnesota. Obviously, my family members all played college hockey, and I went and played major junior, and still have some very good relationships with coaches and players and teammates from my time in Red Deer, and played on some very good teams, and you know, did a lot of growing up when I was playing for the Red Deer Rebels. So definitely a different path than, again, most kids in the area, and more so the family, but don't regret it at all.
You know, growing up as a hockey dad, my son played with you on the Grand Forks Blackhawks, a team that your dad and Mike McNamara, I believe, created back in the day. And I'm going to tell you right now, Pierre-Paul, as a sports or a hockey dad, that was probably one of the funnest years I think I've ever had. For one thing, I mean, you guys were a really good hockey team. For a majority of ragtag players that were assembled that year. But, man, you guys ended up having a really good year. It was a lot of fun. Of course, it seemed like none of the Grand Forks teams would play us. But we had to go all over Canada and all over Minnesota, and we found games. And that was such a great time. I mean, we even had one of your sisters. We'd drag her along as a backup goalie. But those are some good memories from back in the day, huh?
You know what? Like, that's what it's all about. And that's – those are memories that I even talk about to this day. Every time I run into a teammate from, you know, my Bantam hockey team, which is, you know, almost 20 years ago now, you know, we talk about that. We talk about the memories that we had as a team and playing together. And, you know, as a coach, those are the types of things we're trying to create. And that's the type of environment that we want to have here in Fargo. And, you know, it's that's why you play it. Hockey's a team game. And at the end of the day, it's about the group of guys sitting in that locker room together, coming together as a team, and truly enjoying being around each other, and looking forward to coming to the rink, and looking forward to putting their skates on and getting on the ice and competing and battling for each other, and, you know, doing what they love to do. At the end of the day, hockey's a game, and it's got to be fun. And we try to make it as fun as we can for our players and the people inside that locker room.
Okay, now, when you talk about making it as fun as you can, because the United States Hockey League, the USHL, I'm going to ask you a little bit about this, because it's a very, very stout league. It's a big part of U.S. hockey. Now, back in my day, back in the early 80s, the USHL was a completely different beast. Tell us a little bit about the USHL now, because this is a huge feeder program for D1 and on to the next level, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, first of all, USHL is the top junior league in the United States. I don't know the exact percentage, but I think it's 94-95% of players from the USHL move on to the top Division I schools. You know, that other 5% are kids that have already played pro or have maybe played some major junior. So just about every player that comes through our locker room is likely to earn a Division I scholarship. And As you go through and look at NCAA rosters and teams and leading scorers, a majority of those players are players that have come through the USHL and have developed in this league. It's a very competitive league. There's only 16 teams in the USHL, and you know they're very difficult rosters to crack, and you know, which is good for development. Our practices every day, our players are playing with and against high level competition, and then obviously when we go play our opponents, we're seeing some of the best players in the country, you know, and year after year, the USHL has continued to develop more and more NHL draft picks. And, you know, you're seeing, you know, the steps that USA Hockey and our league is taking on a year-to-year basis. So it's real exciting. It's a real fun league to coach in. Every year your roster almost turns over. So you have new kids. As a coach, it's challenging. You have new players, new personnel that you've got to work with and try and get that group to come together and have that group play to their strengths, you know. So, it's fun.
It's a little different now. Back in my day, like Thief River Falls, where I'm from, they were designated an area, and I believe they belonged to the Des Moines Buccaneers back then. But now you have a draft. And Now, I mean, you have got players in the United States Hockey League from all over the world. I mean, it's the thing to do, you know, especially if you want to go to D1 college, because if you go play major juniors in Canada, of course, that kind of wipes out your eligibility. But the USHL now has got players from all over the globe.
Yeah, we're allowed 6 imports on our roster, and imports include Canadians and Europeans. So, you know, this year our roster, we've got 5 Canadians on our team. We don't have any Europeans, but in years past, we've always had a kid or two from Sweden or Czech Republic. You know, last year, our captain, Andre Pavel, was playing with Mankato State right now. He was from the Czech Republic. He played for the Czech Republic at the World Juniors last season, which we're very proud of him. And then this year, Cedric Fiedler, who's playing at Western Michigan, he was playing for Switzerland. So a lot of the Europeans that come over are the top end players in their respective countries. So it's neat because you're getting to meet different people from different parts of the world. And, you know, again, as a coach, that's where it's challenging with getting your group to come together when you have players with different ethnicity and different backgrounds and growing up in different cultures. It's, you know, that's part of team building. So, and those challenges are always fun and unique in their own way.
All right, we're going to take just a quick little break here, Pierre Paul. By the way, we got a text from Austin Syme. He says, hope all is well, PJ. We'll be right back with Pierre Paul Lamoureux. He is the Fargo Forest head hockey coach here in just a minute. Tell you what, you know when you buy something, well, you want it to last, right? That's why you buy it. That's why you want to get your money's worth. Well, that's why you go across the hallway here. I'm looking at him right now, Forks Vacuum in the Grand Cities Mall. Your authorized Rick Carr and Simplicity dealer. They can service and make any model out there. Forks Vacuum, locally owned and operated since 1996. You can stop in for free estimates and repairs. I've been taking my vacuums there for years. I've been buying my vacuums there for years, too. So whether you're looking for a new vacuum or maybe need one fixed, just stop by and see Bruce or Tyler. You know, if you buy something from the big box stores and they take a crap on you, well, they're pretty much junk. That's why I go to Forks Vacuum in the Grand Cities Mall, your authorized Rick Carr and Simplicity dealer. Call them up, 701-746-7830. And we are back with Pierre-Paul Lamoureux, Fargo Forest head hockey coach. Now, Pierre-Paul, you were an assistant with Kerry Eads there down at Fargo Forest. How did this ever come about where he went and took the general manager job? Because I believe it used to be both general manager slash head coach. And talked to you or approached you about it, and what were your thoughts? Did you know this was coming? Or I mean, because when you think about it, you have really moved up the coaching ranks fairly fast.
Yeah. You know what, like I said, I was very lucky to get my start, I guess, in coaching at North Dakota. I finished my undergrad at North Dakota and was a student assistant coach there, and I really just kind of cut my teeth in that role, in that position. I did a lot of, you know, individual on ice coaching with players. Was never really involved in terms of coaching the team or anything, in terms of getting them up in front of the board or anything, but I was always a fly on the wall, and I got to learn from obviously guys like Kerry Eads and Dave Haxtell, Brad Berry, Dane Jackson, you know, Carl Guerin. So consider myself extremely fortunate to just be able to spend time around those types of people and coaches and kind of build the, establish the foundation for my coaching career, you know. And I graduated from law school in North Dakota and kind of got into some scouting and was doing some scouting with Fargo and with the Calgary Flames. And then decided I wanted to get into coaching. So I actually went back up to major junior and I coached a year in Red Deer in 2016-17 and was an assistant coach with Brent Sutter for a year. And then Carrie and I talked again and I came back to Fargo and was the associate head coach here for 2 years. And then we transitioned to where I took over as head coach, you know, and Carrie transitioned to GM. Now, you know, our setup here in Fargo with the structure of our organization, it's, you know, we just got done talking about having players from Europe and players from Canada. And, you know, we're dealing with almost every top end Division One hockey program. You know, building your roster, it's it takes a lot of time. And to have a split responsibility with your head coach and GM, it's very difficult to do that and to manage the players that are in your locker room today and then trying to also build and project moving forward. So I think that was part of Carrie's goal, was to set the framework for our organization where our coaching staff could really dedicate almost all of their time to developing the players that are in our locker room, because that's the most important thing, right? Mm-hmm. The players that are with us today. And then as Carrie, as the general manager, and our scouting staff, putting together the pieces to make sure our year-to-year outlook, we have a strong foundation moving forward as well, you know. And I think that's something we've done well here, is we've had some strong drafts in recent years, and you know, we want to be a contender every single year. So
you know,
in terms of the transition with Carrie, like, it was just a simple conversation, and I was obviously excited about the opportunity, and Carrie felt I was ready. And it's nice in this situation, having Carrie's been a coach for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to have someone that you trust and has been through almost every single scenario that you can think of, you know, it's very, for me, it's nice to know that I can lean on him when I need advice, or if I have questions, you know, he's there, and he's always got a very good perspective and you know, a lot of experience over the years to lend that advice.
So what would you have been thinking? Say Carrie Eads comes up to you and says, Pierre Paul, I'm going to step away from head coaching. I'm going to take the general manager only job, and we're going to interview for a new coach. What would you have thought there? I mean, obviously, no, he's got his faith in you, no doubt about it.
You know what, John, that's part of it. Like, it's, I think as you grow up and get experience in the real world, you start learning that life's not always fair.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you might think that you're owed something, or you've earned an opportunity, and you know, other people don't, you know. And that's just part of it, you know. So if that was a scenario, I you know, would have handled it professionally, and mm-hmm. You know, that's the way of the world, and that's, you know what, those types of situations you know, or what we're trying to teach our players. And,
right.
You know, we make a trade, we add a player to our locker room, that might, you know, change someone's opportunity on a power play or on the penalty kill. And, you know, how you respond in those situations is extremely important. And what are you doing to help yourself and to help our team? Those are very important learning lessons right now today with our hockey team, but, you know, lifelong, you know, when you're in the real world, and you got a boss that's, you know, has high expectations or high demands of you, like, you got to be able to respond and execute, you know, for the organization, you know. And that's part of being adult and growing up.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, there's more to hockey than hockey. There's more to your job than coaching hockey. You're also coaching men to be young men and go out into the world and be good men.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
yeah, we spend a lot of time with our group talking about those types of things and being respectful and kind of growing up. A lot of these players, for the majority, it's their first time away from home. Mm-hmm. So they're learning how to become self-sufficient. They're learning how to become independent and less dependent on others to, you know, get through their day to day, week to week, month to month. And they're learning how to become professionals, you know, and that's part of growing up.
Absolutely. One thing I do like about the United States Hockey League is sometimes, depending on how your season goes, but some of these kids can actually go back to school and finish up, you know, that way they're not in a different town. But that's happened a few times too, right?
You're talking high school?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I think on our current roster, we have 6 players that are currently enrolled in high school. We actually... Obviously, the way the world now, everyone's online, but we implemented about 4 or 5 years ago that all of our high school players do take their classes online.
Mm-hmm.
And that just helps with their routine and their schedule. And to be honest, it mitigated the gap in learning. You know, when we're on the road, we got to leave on a Thursday and a player misses class on Thursday, Friday, he's never really going to make that time up.
Sure.
He might spend time with the class or with the teacher, but we found with the online learning that players don't miss those gaps in whatever modules or whatever class they're taking. So we felt that our players had more success. And then at the end of the year, our younger players were able to develop on the ice more, and it was less of a burden versus being in school from 8 till 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. every
right.
single day.
And like with the technology they have these days, like when I was in high school, I mean, I'm in college now, but in high school, middle school, a little bit of elementary, all we use now is, you know, computers.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And
yeah.
Online learning now, it's the modules. Like I've even toward the end of my college career, I was taking some online classes, and they're very, very easy to follow. And
yeah, I agree.
Let's face it. I mean, yeah. They have to keep their education going, Pierre-Paul, because you are grooming these kids to go play D1 and get an education. And you know what? That's another bonus. If you make a USHL roster, you're a good player. You're probably going to get yourself a scholarship. So go work on that education because, as you know, I mean, well, not quite, but there is life after hockey, and you Absolutely. Have to be prepared for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, look, our current roster right now, we have 2 players that are committed to Harvard. We have 3 players committed to the University of Minnesota. And we have players committed to Clarkson, UMass, like North Dakota. So year in, year out, these are the types of schools, you know, that we're developing players for. And, you know, the player has to hold up their end of the bargain and keep their academics in order so they can earn those opportunities. You know,
education is number
academically,
one.
All they're going to do is just kind of limit the types of schools that are allowed to recruit them. If players are doing well academically, it's going to open up more doors and more opportunities for them.
Absolutely. Do you have any Grand Forks, East Grand Forks, local kids on your roster right now? I mean, I know you got to be a good hockey player to make one of these teams.
Yeah. You know what? We have 2 Grand Forks boys right now, Mason Sulquist and Tucker Hodgson, mm-hmm. both on our roster, both playing well for us. You know, Grant Slikinski's from Warroad, Aaron Huglin's from Roseau. We have a real strong mix of local players. You know, Mason Sulquist he's still our 5th leading scorer. He's actually out with a long-term injury right now. He was a big loss for our team, but Mason's a real, real interesting story. We actually drafted Mason as a 16-year-old a few years ago, and he didn't make our team as a 16-year-old. He didn't make it as a 17-year-old. And then when he graduated from high school, and I believe he was Mr. Hockey in North Dakota, he didn't make our team again. We actually cut him, and then we released him. And he went down to the North American League, and he ended up being a real good player in the North American League. And we had some injury problems, and we called him up for a few games, and he was a real good player for us. And we're like, well, we got to keep him around. So we kept him around, and we kind of cut him twice, mm-hmm. made our team the 3rd time. And now he's earned himself a scholarship to St. Cloud.
Wow.
And, you know, I just think it's a real good story of not getting discouraged and just working hard. And he really dedicated himself to getting into you know, elite condition and shape. And, you know, he didn't quit, you know, after we cut him for the first time, he went and worked harder, you know, mm-hmm. and then faced a little bit of adversity. And every teenage kid that's trying to play in our league or make it to the next level, or trying to earn a Division I scholarship, it's competitive. And, you know, you got to outwork the people that are next to you or trying to earn the same thing, you know. So that's a real cool story. Mason Solquist, Tucker Hodgson's another player that he was actually, I think, a 17th round draft pick mm-hmm. Last year. And he's played in every single game for us this year. And he just came to camp and he's outworked a lot of his competition. And he's probably at the rink right now shooting pucks and working on his skating. And he's a kid that every single day he takes advantage of the opportunity to work and develop and grow his game. And that's why he's able to play with us and have an impact. And, you know, Tucker's going to be earning a scholarship here, hopefully in the near future.
Good. How are the Fargo Forest looking? How are you guys sitting right now in your division?
Well, right now we're in first place in our conference and tied for first place in the league. You know, but our league is extremely tight and extremely competitive, and every game is it's a one goal or a two goal game. And, you know, you gotta scratch a claw for every point and every win, you know. So USHL top to bottom is there's no pushovers, there's no easy games. And that's why it's in terms of the development for your players, they're learning how to bring it every single night and every single game. Because if they don't, you're not going to get a very good result.
Right. I know we're going to have to cut this kind of short today, Pierre-Paul, because you have got a busy day. But after you raise the...
I got about 10 more minutes.
Okay, good. I want to promote this. Fargo Forest, you guys play in Shields Arena. Beautiful facility. Love that rink. But you have got three big games at home this weekend. Why don't you tell us about that? Maybe we can get some of these Grand Forks fans down there.
Yeah, absolutely. We play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all at home here. We're playing the Tri-City Storm, who's an upper echelon team this year as well. They've got a very good team. Players committed to Minnesota, players committed to North Dakota. Very competitive team. So we're going to see tough competition, obviously. And Shields Arena is a great place to come watch a hockey game.
It is.
Kind of blew out a couple of suites. They built an end zone bar. There's a lot going on for kids and family, and a brand new scoreboard that you know, hanging at center ice. So it's a great experience, and it's fun, and it's a real good atmosphere.
Now, if somebody wants to find out more about the Fargo Force, do you guys have a website or a Facebook page or social media, anything where if they want to get a schedule or anything like that?
Yep. FargoForce.com. Check out our schedules on there. And then obviously on Twitter, we're Fargo Force on Twitter and Facebook and all the social media accounts. So,
What time do the games usually start, Pierre-Paul?
Yep. 7 p.m. on Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday nights are 6 p.m. starts.
Okay. A couple more questions. I asked these to most coaches and players, but do you have a favorite hockey moment as a player?
As a player?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a player, I think one of my favorite moments, I was a freshman at Grand Forks Central.
Mm-hmm.
We had a real strong high school team, and we won the state championship that year. But what was special about that moment in particular was I played on that team with my older brother Jacques and my younger brother Mario. So all three of us were on that team together, and we got to win a championship together. That was a real special moment. That's usually one that comes to mind. Another one that comes to mind, my first year of junior hockey, I was playing in Bismarck with the Bismarck Bobcats, and we actually started the year out 0-9-1. We lost our first 10 games of the year.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a long season. And our team really came together, and we ended up making the playoffs the last day of the regular season. And we had a great run throughout the year where we started stringing some wins together, and we went from the bottom and barely got into playoffs. And once we got in, we just kind of steamrolled through playoffs, and we ended up winning our league championship that year. And that was a real fun year and a real good learning experience. And even though it's a long year,
mm-hmm.
well, you don't have a great start, you can always scratch and claw back, and you're never out of the fight, you know? So that was a real cool experience that always comes to mind as well.
All right. In your young coaching career, Pierre Paul, do you have a best coaching moment, the best night you've had on the ice or in the rink as a coach?
You know what? The moments for me that I guess I feel most proud about are when our players earn a scholarship or have success. You know, we've had some players over the years that, you know, like a Mason Salquist type of a story, or some kids that have faced some real true adversity, you know, like Aaron Hublin, who's currently playing for us. He missed almost 2 years of hockey,
mm-hmm.
You know, so, and he's come back and he's an impact player for us right away. And he scored a highlight reel goal back his first game after not playing for so long. You know, but the individual moments when you really feel like you're having an impact and you're helping players accomplish their goals, those are real important moments for me that I feel most proud about. And, you know, in 2018, our team here in Fargo won the Clark Cup championship, the playoff championship. And that was a real special moment, a real special group of players, you know, so those are the types of things that come to mind when we're talking about, you know, for me as a coach, mm-hmm. a special.
You know, and here's another question that I ask a lot of players and coaches. You know, coaches are big influences on men growing up, young men, boys, girls, the influences and the impacts that a coach can make on somebody's life, not just their hockey career. But how do you, Pierre Paul Lamoureux, want to be remembered when this is all said and done and you hang up the skates and you hang up the whistle and you retire? How do you want to be remembered as a coach?
That's a really good question. That's something that I think about often. I guess my approach with our players is I'm just very honest with them. But I'm fair. I don't really beat around the bush. And that's one of the things that I tell our guys is I think we praise them when they earn it, and they know that we love them and that we care about them. And when we're hard on them, we might be hard on them, and I might have a direct message, but I'm not trying to demean them in any way, but I'm fair. And, you know, I guess when it's all said and done, I hope our players look back and say, you know, coach made me a better player, and he made me a better person, and he pushed me outside my comfort zone. And maybe I didn't like it at the time, but I can understand it now, and I respect him. And, you know, I hope at the end of the day that we talk to our players about being respectful, and we try to be respectful with our players as well, that they respect, you know, the coaching and the influence that we're trying to have on them and the impact that we're trying to have. So, and I know that a lot of them will feel it later in life that we truly cared about them.
And, mm-hmm.
We try to show that too, you know, through different moments throughout the year, but.
You know,
you can answer that question a lot of different ways, and because there are so many different things that we're trying to do and accomplish with our players.
You know, and the thing is, in another 10 years or 20 years, Pierre Paul, when some of your former players come up to you and they find you and they tell you what impact you made on their life, it might take a little while, but you're going to get all that. And man, I know you are doing a great job. And this is awesome for me because I haven't got to talk to you forever. This is the most I've talked to you in probably a year or two, but we're going to try to get down there this weekend. We definitely want to hook up with you, and it's so great to see the family that you have in the background there, and awesome to hear how things are going down there in Fargo with the Fargo Force. But man, you earned it, you deserved it, and you're taking these guys to the next level, and you're a big part of it, and congratulations, man. I mean, things look like they're going really good.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. And, you know, can't do it without support of obviously a family. And obviously I'm very fortunate to have a very good organization here in Fargo, obviously with Carrie as our GM and president of hockey operations. And we have a very good coaching staff. So It's not just one person. It's a lot of different people that are pulling on the rope together.
And a couple of things. I don't know if you're going to hang up when we're done with this interview, but when you get the Clark Cup back in Fargo again, we do want you to make the trip to Grand Forks so you can bring the cup with you. And then you and I and the rest of our crew here, we're going to walk across the hall. And we're going to go have ourselves a little party. And again, big games at home this weekend. Let's get some fans out there. This is a great interview. It's just more great just talking to you, Pierre-Paul, and we appreciate it.
Likewise. Always good hearing from you, John, and we'll talk soon.
All right. There you go. And thank you, Pierre-Paul Lamoureux. I mean, that guy has got one heck of a busy schedule going on today. So thanks to him for coming on to the show. He is your Fargo Forest head hockey coach. And again, three big games at Shields Arena this weekend. So you might want to go check those out. If you want to go see some great hockey, you got to go check out the Fargo Forest. It is awesome. And special thanks going out today for all for Heaven's Cakes. You know, there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. Well, that's where All for Heaven's Cakes comes in. Best cupcakes and cakes for special occasions, or maybe just a little treat. You know, they make incredible specialty items by order, or you can walk in to find out more. While you're there, enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. And if you're a business owner, maybe you want to treat your employees. Check out their monthly employee discounts. All for Heaven's Cakes on the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4. Saturdays 9 to noon. Call 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or go to allforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Tell you what, be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. All for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Hey, don't forget, Grand Forks Best Source, now on Amazon Music. Tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast, and it'll do it. We're looking for your 5-star reviews on Google, too, and we are also on Pandora, and I'll remember that. And don't forget about this, Grand Forks Best Source, open house ribbon cutting ceremony. This Friday at about 4 o'clock, we got live music with the Heat Seekers. Then we're all going to head over to Rumors Sports Bar and Grill Casino. It's going to be a great time. Again, that's this Friday at 4. Oh boy, tomorrow, David Waterman is back with the Midwest Public Health Coalition, along with Nick Ralston. This is going to be an interesting show. You're going to want to check this one out, to mask or not to mask. Hey everybody, make sure you like, share, and tag us, all right? For Grand Forks Best Source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.